Get your fill of baseball news and beer reviews at foulballarea.com. Follow our blog for the latest news around the baseball world and read about some of our favorite ballpark beers. Tune into the podcast every Wednesday as we take a deep dive into the topics of the day. Stay connected by signing up for our mailing list or following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at foulballarea. Now, here's today's episode of the Foulball Area Podcast with Matthew Atkins and Trey Lyle. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of the Foulball Area Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins. So good to be back at it again for another episode of the podcast. And as always, good to be joined by my co-host, Trey Lyle, joining us via Zoom from Kansas again this week. Trey, what's going on out there in the Midwest?
You know, nothing much. You know, obviously, COVID stuff still going on. Kansas about to enact, come Friday, a mandatory mask requirement that's already, like, in Virginia that's going on right now. So dealing with that. Hope everyone's staying safe out there. Thank you so much for listening in during these times. But, you know, just getting through the days, having a good time out here in the middle of nowhere. Excited baseball is right around the corner after a pretty interesting June. It looks like July is setting up to be a very good month if you are a sports fan.
Yeah, it should be. Most of the major sports have plans to return in July. Of course, as you said, COVID still a thing, so still something to watch as we get ready to return to sports. A mandatory mask ban finally coming in Kansas. We have that in Virginia. We've had it for a while, although most people don't really follow it, so I don't think it's really that mandatory. But wear your masks, people. Foulball Area encourages you to wear your masks when you're out in public. But moving on to some baseball talk, before we dive into the major league topics of the day, this past weekend was opening weekend in the Rockingham County Baseball League. So for all our listeners out there that are not familiar with the RCBL, I've worked in this league for 3 years now. This is my fourth year being involved in the league, and it's an amateur baseball league in the Shenandoah Valley in Virginia. Most teams are located in Rockingham County. There's one in Augusta County and one in Shenandoah County, and it's just pretty much anyone that wants to play baseball can come play. There's a good mix of high schoolers, college players, grown men that just love playing the game of baseball. So it's a good time, a great game, great way to spend your summer nights in the Shenandoah Valley. And so this weekend was our opening weekend, and I did a couple of online broadcasts, and I have a couple of interviews to play for you all on today's episode from those broadcasts. First, on Saturday night, the opening night of the 2020 RCBL season, I caught up with Harrisonburg Turks head coach Bobby Weiss, who is spending his summer with the Broadway Bruins in the RCBL because the Valley League canceled its season this summer. So he's shifted over to the RCBL, where he is a Hall of Famer, and he's joining the Broadway Bruins as an assistant coach. So I caught up with him before the game on Saturday to talk about how he ended up in Broadway for this season.
Well, when our season was canceled, Chip Abernathy came to me and asked me to help him. And, you know, it's just an honor to be out here having a little baseball for the summer. I thank Chip from the bottom of my heart for letting me come out. I had two or three other teams in the county league call me, but I went to Broadway High School, so I decided to come on back to Broadway.
How long did it take from the time the Valley League announced its cancellation until you decided you have to be at a baseball field this summer?
Well, it was about 3 days after the season was canceled that Chip came in and talked to me, and I told him I'd be glad to help him.
What's it like to be back in the RCBL now? You're an RCBL Hall of Famer. You are a household name in this league. What's it like to be back on the sidelines coaching?
Well, you know, I just want to be in baseball somewhere this summer. You know, I'm 76 years old. How many good days, weeks, months, years do I have left? So I feel that, you know, as long as you want to do something, age has no barrier. I think you should go ahead and do it as long as you want to.
Speaking of
age, as long as you can.
This Broadway team has a couple of young guys. That's been kind of their thing over the past couple of years, is bringing in young players. What can you tell us about the new guys on the team this
year?
Well,
we have five guys from JMU. We have Chase DeLauder, who I think will be one of the best ball players in the county league. You know, he pitched for JMU. He throws the baseball 94, 95 miles an hour. Plays left field. He hit 382 for JMU. He's a freshman, big left-handed hitter. He's going to really help us. Josh Jones, who played third base at JMU, he hit rated 300 and stole a bunch of bases. So he'll play shortstop tonight for us. Then we have two other pitchers. Well, we have Travis Refsnyder, a catcher and an outfielder. and a big left-hand hitter. He's going to help us. He was on the Turks last year, did a good job for us. Then we have Liam McDonald, who was also on the Turks last year, left-handed pitcher, and he did a good job for us last year, and he just needed a place to play. And then we have Anthony Pecolino, another left-hander. He was one of the closers for JMU. So it looks like it's going to be a good league this year. All the teams have, you know, several D1 college baseball players, and I think it's going to be an exciting year.
What did you tell these guys that were on the Turks last year playing in the RCBO now? How did you prepare them for this league, how it's different from the Valley League?
Well, I just tell them, hey, it's baseball, man. At least you're getting to play. And, you know, I talked to the coaches at JMU, and they were all in favor of the kids coming out and playing. And I know Bridgewater has two or three JMU players, and I think Clover Hill has a couple, and Newmarket. Everybody's got a couple JMU players, and I know Montezuma has a catcher from Clemson who's a big-time ball player. So it's going to be an exciting league this summer. It's going to be very, very good.
It's a little shorter than you're used to. You're used to the 42-game Valley League season and a 21-game season in the RCBO this year, but it'll be more condensed, so you're also used to that.
Yeah, we're going to be playing 21 games in 27 days, which means almost every night you're going to be at the ballpark. And which I guess it's going to be a good thing for some of these guys. I hope they don't get, you know, worn out and quit coming, you know, missing a game here and there. Because if you're on a team, you need to come. You just need to come. We've only had three or four practices, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the season starting.
All right, Coach, thanks for joining us. Good luck tonight.
I just asked Clover Hill, take it easy on us tonight.
So that was Broadway Bruins assistant coach Bob Weiss talking about how he became an assistant with the Bruins this season. Of course, he is the head coach of the Harrisonburg Turks in the Valley Baseball League. The Valley League canceled this year, so he moved back to the RCBO for the 2020 summer. I also caught up with George Loss, who is another Valley League coach. He was set to be the head coach of the Strasburg Express this year, but again, with the cancellation of the VBO, he decided to lace up his cleats one more time and try out as a player for the Bridgewater Reds. So I caught up with him on Sunday to talk about what it's like to be back on the playing field.
I'm going to tell you, you know, this is the fact that our league got it together and put this together, entertain the fans and give these boys a chance to play ball. Just hats off to them. They put a great plan together. There's some good social distancing guidelines they put together for the league. It's like I'm going to Disneyland. You know, I haven't played a full baseball season since 2012. I've been involved in the Valley League as a head coach or assistant coach, and most of these players that have been vets in the league, I've coached some of them, like Blake Sipe played for me in Stanton, you know, going down through it. Cody Swisher coached against him in high school, and it's just great to see some of the young guys coming up to the juniors like Brayson Fulton and Grant Painter, you know, the future of the game. Just getting a chance to see them play and play along some very talented boys in Bridgewater. Coach Scherfey's done a great job of, you know, accumulating some talent this year, and it's just great to see how much talent is in the league. It's going to create a wide-open situation to where I think anybody can win any given night, and it's just going to come down to consistency of the fundamentals. But, man, it's great to be playing baseball.
That's what we've heard a lot of talk about this year is the talent in this league, especially with a lot of other leagues like the Valley League canceling their season. A lot of players want to play for the summer, and the RCBO is one of their only options. So what have you seen so far in regards to the talent this year?
Well, I've watched a couple scrimmage games that some of the teams played before the season started. Montezuma has some talented kids. They've got Hackenberg, who was drafted out of high school, that was a catcher from Clemson, and I think he had five hits yesterday during the games. Like, he went 5 for 6. Seeing Cam Irvin playing again, a local boy that went to Tech and then transferred to Gulf Coast, and now he's going to High Point. It's a chance for him to get his, you know, skills enhanced, and he had two home runs yesterday in the doubleheaders. But, you know, you get a chance to come to a place here like Buck Bowman Park and experience this full tilt, not only as a fan but as a player. It's just something I'm going to take it all in, because this is what baseball is supposed to be all about. You know, my dad always talked about growing up how the towns all had their own teams, and, you know, to get a chance here to also honor Chris Cofer and everything that he's done over the years, it's just pretty special to have a chance to be a part of this rivalry.
When the Valley League canceled, how long was it before you started thinking about playing this summer?
Well, you know, the itch never goes away. There's always a monster in the basement that just always keeps talking to you. Maybe you should try to play. But when you get a chance to coach in the Valley League, you'd be a fool to pass it up. And when Kane Boyd Snyder gave me an opportunity down in Stanton in 2013, you know, I had to jump on it. It was not something that, as a professional, when you want to coach and get into the game itself, maybe at the next level, you have to take advantage of opportunities like that. And It's just, you know, we were sitting there and the high school season got canceled, and I was holding hope that the Valley League was going to stand out, but the Valley League canceled, and they made good decisions because we do a lot of host family work throughout the communities, and you were going to bring a lot of people in, and you could not at that time. We still don't know. We don't have a grasp on how much this is spreading and what we can do to help, you know, calm the numbers down of the statistics, but I started kicking around an idea. My wife actually encouraged me to reach out, and I reached out to a couple teams. But Derek Shiflett, who played for me in Stanton, again, circle of life, how it goes around, he said, hey, why don't you come out to a practice and just work out? And I came out and worked out, and Sheriff was honest with me up front. He goes, you know, we got a lot of young boys on the team that are here to make up for reps that they lost in the spring, and, you know, the opportunities will be there when given. And I don't care if I'm the 30th man on the roster. I don't care if, you know, I have to rake the fields every day. Just being around a game of baseball again and getting a chance to go back to normal, it means a lot more to me mentally than I think most people, because that's all I've ever known. I just love the game of baseball, just like Bob Weiss. You know, you see him, Bob, out there in the coach's box. There's people that are lifers for the game, Mike Bocock and Tyler and Blake, and it just feels good to be out here in public being able to do the things we love.
Speaking of Bob, he was here last night. The Bruins opened their season against the Bucks. We talked to him last night. Are you looking forward to facing him when you guys play Broadway this year?
Well, you know, everybody always tries to put out a rivalry, you know, that it's everybody against Bob. But Bob, he's a great man for the game. He's an ambassador. He's given so many players opportunities over the years, you know, with Harrisonburg. And then even when he played here in the league, guys have talked about how good of a hitter he was. And you can't replace a guy like Bob. You know, for his knowledge and his experience. And when the time comes and he decides to hang it up, it's going to be well-deserved. But I hope he stays in as long as he can, because I know how much he loves it. I know how much him and Teresa support not just the Valley League, but, you know, on the off nights, you'll see him at Valley League games, the RCBL games. And you have a guy that loves a game as much as that, you want to see him have as much fun as he deserves.
Tonight's game is a rivalry, Bridgewater and Clover Hill, rematch of the last 3 years' finals series. Are you ready for tonight?
You know, it's one of those things. If my number gets called, I'm going to step up and give you everything I have. And even if we're sitting here watching a game, this is the best thing going on today. You know, not too many leagues are playing across the nation, and that's because of their concerns and everything with the phases. But where would you rather be than here at Clover Hill at the Clover Dome with the Bridgewater Reds versus the Clover Hill Bucks?
Nowhere.
Exactly. So, and it's funny because my family, my in-laws, are huge fans of the Clover Hill Bucks, and they've got the deck like two rows across from you. And when I tried to reach out, I didn't, you know, Clover Hill was stacked to talent. They didn't have any open roster spots. So my brother-in-law actually got on me for going to play for the rivals. So I kind of got a first taste of it about from them. They were ribbing me pretty good. So we'll put some hits together with the runners on base and try to make it a good game and maybe come out on top. But either way, I think the winner's always going to be the fans here and the people of the community.
All right. Thanks for joining us and good luck tonight.
It's my pleasure.
So that was George Loss of the Bridgewater Reds talking about what it's like to be a player again after spending 8 years as a coach in the Valley Baseball League. Again, the Valley League not playing this year. The RCBL is the only baseball in the Shenandoah Valley this summer. So a couple of players and coaches from the Valley League who usually would have been spending their summers in that league are now in the RCBL for the 2020 season. So a great weekend of RCBL baseball. I will be doing some broadcasts throughout the season. So you all can tune in. Of course, if you follow Foulball Area on Twitter, we'll be tweeting out the links to those broadcasts. And also, if you don't follow Foulball Area on Twitter, you should. Also, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and sign up for our mailing list at foulballarea.com. That's my plug for this episode. Now, Trey, let's move on to some of the Major League Baseball topics. You know, it's going to be another kind of somber episode. Some not great news going down over the past couple of days. Let's start with minor league baseball. There's a lot of reports now that minor league baseball will officially cancel its 2020 season. Now, remember, guys, we record our episodes on Tuesday. This will be out on Wednesday. The reports are that there will be an official announcement on Tuesday. So by the time you listen to this, that announcement may have already been made. But at the time of recording, it has not been an official announcement, but multiple reports from the Boston Globe, Baseball America, The Athletic, they're all saying that the season's going to be canceled. And it's a really, really sad announcement.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to stay up to date, go to our website, Foulball Area, as well as all of our social medias as well. keep us updated on there. Look at that plug. But it's something that's sad, but something that was expected. I think if you're baseball, you need to limit the amount of people that play and limit the exposure of people. And if you have minor league baseball, that just increases the risk and the cost for owners, which is sad, but it's expected. I mean, for a kid that's grown up in with minor league baseball in his hometown in Richmond, it's gonna definitely be unusual. I mean, Richmond kind of this time it's the Richmond Flying Squirrels, or it was the Richmond Braves, but it's expected but unfortunate. And I think that's kind of the mood around this is like, and it's the same thing we're going to talk about with players opting out. It's kind of expected, but unfortunate. And that's kind of been the news right now of baseball. And that's kind of be the news around this pandemic and with players and the effects from it. It's very unfortunate, but you have to kind of understand the situation better and respect certain decisions. And I think baseball really didn't have an option here. They had to cancel the minor league season at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, it was kind of expected. We all knew that it was probably going to happen, but now it's real. Now it is happening, and it's really sad for, you know, for communities that rely on their minor league baseball teams as a huge source of revenue. They bring in tourism. It's a big part of the economy for these small communities that have minor league teams. It's a big part of the way of life in those towns. You know, I spent a summer in Pulaski. Everybody in Pulaski goes to Yankees games when they're in town. So it's a big way of life, a big way to spend summer evenings. A big part of it that we haven't touched on is that MLB still wants to go forward with its plan to cut 42 minor league teams. And so with the cancellation of the 2020 season, that means that many of these teams that are going to be cut have already played their final season, and they didn't even know it. They didn't know that 2019 would be their last year. They thought that they would have this season and then they would be cut and then they'd go from there. But now they're done and their future is kind of up in the air. Where do they go after this? I don't know.
Yeah. But shout out to Pulaski. They're actually doing something pretty cool is they're starting their own 16 co-ed softball team league where you get to play at the field. That sounds really cool. Objectively speaking, it's going to be interesting to see how some of these teams do creative solutions to kind of use their field, and that's one way you bring the community together I don't know if fans would be allowed at the games off the top of my head. I'm assuming maybe not, but I know it's actually pretty interesting to see kind of how, if this league is going to be able to happen, but a co-ed softball league happening on, you play on a minor league field, which would be pretty cool to see. Yeah, I think you nailed it on the head. I think the effect on these small towns and kind of the unity it brings. Brady Hess came on a couple weeks ago and spoke pretty eloquently about, like, he talked about Bluefield and Bailey Engel did a great job with that too. How this kind of does it. So this, it could be the final time that some of these teams ever play, and they didn't get to kind of celebrate their end, like. So it's sad, it's unfortunate, and you kind of just have to roll with the punches. That's kind of the theme of this whole pandemic is you gotta expect bad things to happen and just hope for the best in the end.
Yeah, we talked with Brady Hess and Bailey Engel. Of course, we had both of them on the podcast recently, so you can go back and listen to their interviews to get their insight on where things stand in minor league baseball. It is a sad situation. Both of them have spent time in Bluefield, so they can both relate. Bailey Engel also spent time at the Erie Seawolves. They're one of the teams that may be cut according to this plan to get rid of 42 minor league teams. So both of them had good perspective on the situation. But yeah, I mean, I just think that all these teams that are going to end up being cut and kicked out of the minor league organization, they all thought that they would have at least one more season, and now they don't with the 2020 season being canceled. So you really feel for them. You feel for, you know, the front office personnel who are inevitably going to end up losing their jobs, stadium workers who won't have employment, everyone who relies on minor league baseball as a source of income and a way of life. You really feel for them. It's a really tough situation. And then also, you know, the players. I mean, if you get rid of 42 minor league teams, then you need fewer players to fill out your entire farm system. So that means that players who had dreamed of making it to the major leagues playing professional baseball, that dream becomes a lot harder when there are fewer teams to play for. So it really affects a lot of people, and it's a really tough situation all around. It's a sad thing to see. I mean, I love minor league baseball. It's great. Everyone who has spent time around it loves it. It's just pure fun baseball. And so it's a really sad day around the baseball world when they officially announced that the 2020 minor league season will be canceled. Other news around baseball this week, when the MLB and the players came to an agreement on the 2020 season, there was a provision that players could opt out of playing this year. Those players who are considered high-risk individuals for COVID-19 can opt out and still receive their salary. Other players can opt out, but they won't get paid this year. And so a few players have already decided to take advantage of that option. Mike Leake, a pitcher for the Arizona Diamondbacks, has decided to opt out of playing this year, as well as Joe Ross and Ryan Zimmerman of the Washington Nationals. They've all decided to opt out, and they will forego playing in the 2020 season. You know, Mike Leake, he's an average starting pitcher. He's not great. He's not bad. So he would have been a contributor to the Diamondbacks this year. So it's a loss. They lose a starting pitcher in their rotation. And then for the Nationals, I don't know much about Joe Ross, but Ryan Zimmerman, he's getting old. He's kind of declining. He's a veteran guy, though. So I think that's a tough loss for the clubhouse, maybe not for the lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think pitchers are going to be so much more important in the 60-game season. I think just the fact you lose a starting pitcher, it might not be Mike Leake. It's the effect of that hole in your rotation is really big now, especially early on in the season. I think as the season goes out, and someone touched on this, with the less games, you might see a smaller rotation as it gets on. So your high-end starters, which Mike Leake was probably, the third or fourth starter, obviously Mad Bum being at the top of that lineup for the Diamondbacks, that could be a hole because that could be your third or fourth starter in your rotation. You lose that, and now you kind of have to shuffle. Zimmerman's leadership, I think, was big. Obviously, him being kind of the face of the Washington Nationals since they became the Washington Nationals is huge. We're going to touch on probably the bigger opting out with Ian Desmond from the Colorado Rockies in a moment, because his is definitely unique, and he brought up a lot more points about baseball as a whole, and which was really interesting to see. But yeah, this is not going to surprise me. I think we're going to have more players opt out, honestly. You're seeing it in the NBA. You're seeing it in the WNBA. You're seeing it anywhere you play. I guess hockey hasn't really had many. But to me, I don't think you should be mad at the player or at the situation, no matter what it is, because they're putting their family first and they're taking a big risk. I mean, sitting out a season is a big risk, just in terms of time. So you kind of just have to say you understand and you respect their decision and you understand their decision, because it's factors that are bigger than just the game of baseball. I think family should always come first in every decision you make, and that's what these players are doing mainly, and you have to respect that. I think there's no criticism that should fall on them, and if you want to criticize them, I think that's terrible, honestly, just to be frank with, I think that's terrible. I think the better discussion is, how does it affect the team from a on the baseball kind of aspect? I think that's a healthy discussion to have, because you treat it like an injury. You treat it like you don't get mad at a player for getting hurt. It just happens. I mean, so I think that's how you kind of have to treat these things. Like, this player is putting their health first, which is the absolute right decision. If you don't feel comfortable with any protocol that's in place and you want to stay home, then do it. And I completely am for a player putting their interest first, especially their family interest, in these situations.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. You can't criticize the players for doing what they think is right for themselves and their families. You know, I respect each of their decisions. It's what they think that they need to do. I mean, in order to play this season in Major League Baseball, they'd have to be isolated from their families for the entire season. And that'd be really difficult. And I know, you know, a lot of the arguments that you see on social media is that, oh, every job has sacrifices. Every job you have to be away from your family. Yeah, that's true. But if these guys have the option where they don't have to, if they can opt out of the season, spend this time with their family, which they would rather do, then more power to them. If that's what they think is best for them and their family, I completely respect their decision.
And it's also, it's not like these guys don't spend time with their family. Like, they know what the grind, like, during a regular season, they don't spend a lot of time with their family. So it's not like they already have these effects. It's the idea of, I don't want to get sick and then bring it back to my family. Like, that's, it's not the spend time with family part that their focus is. It's their health. It's the fact that they have young children that they don't want to get affected by this. They don't, there's still so many unanswered questions when it comes to this pandemic, that why risk it if I have a young child, or if I have a wife that's pregnant in some of these situations, in these key groups. And I completely understand their point of view.
Yeah, now another player that you mentioned is Ian Desmond, the outfielder for the Rockies, who also announced that he would opt out of the 2020 season. And his announcement was a little more thought-provoking and moving and heartfelt. He had a 9-page post on Instagram detailing his thought process and what led to him deciding to opt out of the 2020 season. And I mean, you guys should all just go look him up on Instagram and read the whole thing.
Highly recommend reading it.
It's a really moving statement. Basically, the gist of it is that, you know, he's a biracial man, and he sees a lot of the problems and the inequalities that we have in our world. And he was visiting his old Little League home, or his old Little League field in his hometown of Sarasota, and just looking at how run down it was and how the kids of this youth baseball league don't have the opportunities that he had. And so he is deciding to opt out of the 2020 season, partially due to COVID-19, and to try to keep his family safe, because he does have a pregnant wife and 4 young kids. So he's trying to keep his family safe, but also he's going to spend this time working with the Sarasota Little League and trying to rebuild those fields, rebuild that program, and give these kids the opportunities that really every kid should have.
Yeah, you touched on the idea of how travel baseball is kind of the focus now in baseball. And it's the way you kind of get set up, and that's expensive, frankly. It is. It costs a lot of money to be on a travel team and have the right equipment. And that should be the nature of the game of baseball. Everyone should be able to play. And that's why Little League was such a great program. It was accessible to a lot of people. And it's something that if you're Major League Baseball, you need to highly, highly look at. I mean, at getting into these areas, because if you want to build the game back up, you listen to an Ian Desmond of the world who saw it firsthand was in Sarasota. We've been on these weeks advocating for baseball and trying to kind of get it back going to where it should be. And if you want, you create a youth movement. I think basketball's done a really good job at investing in basketball at the lower levels. And I know obviously AAU is a big thing in basketball, but investing into basketball a lot, and you see it well. And it's the same thing with soccer. Like, soccer is, I now know tons of kids who play soccer as a 4-year-old because it's really easy to access. And it brings as a soccer fan success. And you kind of see it now with a lot of young soccer players playing overseas. And that's something you never really experienced, at least my time as a younger soccer fan in this country. So it's something that should have been done already, but shockingly has not been done yet. And it was definitely moving reading a statement. I read the first page last night when it all came out, and then this morning listening to it on the radio about kind of summary. So before this episode recorded, I read the whole thing, and it's definitely moving. He talks about the jokes in the locker room and how insensitive they can be, not just about racial issues, but homophobia and everything that's going on right now in our our country. And I think that was moving. It was like you could break this down into three parts. You have the COVID part of this, where he talks about the family risk. And then you have this idea of neglecting Little League baseball and focusing more on the travel. Like, that's how it's built now in baseball. And then you have like the racial inequality part of it. And I think it was well written. It was well justified. It was well stated. And I think you look at Ian Desmond and you say, hats off to you. And it started a much needed conversation in the game of baseball on three different avenues, which is rarely done, and just shows how much of a powerful message that was.
Yeah, it was definitely a very powerful message, definitely bringing light to issues that, you know, I feel like baseball hasn't really been proactive in combating these issues. You know, you have the NBA. The NBA is a very, pro-civil rights league. They're always behind their players. The NFL, obviously, the whole Colin Kaepernick thing, they didn't handle that very well at all.
It's getting a lot better.
Yes, it is getting a lot better. MLB is just kind of silent when stuff like this happens. So I think it's good that a player was able to take a stand like this. And, you know, that takes a lot of guts to do that and put this statement out. So really big respect to Ian Desmond.
Yeah, like the NBA, and we're not saying the NBA is perfect. There's still a lot more problems that need to be addressed in all of sports when it comes to inequality in terms of executive positions, head coaching positions in general, and how front office organizations are constructed. However, the NBA is going to do a couple of things, it looks like, in their reset, whether it be allowing players to put a social justice message on the back of their jerseys, or it appears there's reports out. I don't think the NBA has confirmed it yet, but I wouldn't be shocked if they do it. They're going to paint Black Lives Matter on the court in Orlando, which is huge. And something that you kind of have to respect the NBA. And it's something why I'm going to praise Adam Silver, because Adam Silver has been perfect at building a really good relationship with his players, yet having the advocacy of his ownership. And it really started, I mean, you think about it, like, go back to the Donald Sterling situation when Adam Silver first got the job, and the terrible, terrible message that came out of Donald Sterling's mouth, and he kicked him out of the league instantly. And it started with that. I know we're talking more about the NBA now, but this sets up, like, what if that situation happened in baseball? What would Rob Manfred do? And I honestly don't know. I would hope he'd do some similar action where it was swift and he kicked him out of the league. But what would happen, and something that's come up, and maybe we'll see, is the first commissioner of Major League Baseball obviously is on the MVP award, and so there's been calls to remove him due to his racial inequality and his time, and the, I wouldn't say hindrance of allowing African Americans in baseball, but he was not, like, during that time, I'm not the expert of experts about it, but I feel like I don't see why not his name can be removed from the MVP award. I think it's something that should be done, especially right now with what's going on in our countries. That's a story that's honestly about on the possibility of removing his name from the MVP award.
Yeah, I hadn't even heard of that. I haven't heard people talking about that, but yeah, that's definitely a good point. Interesting thought. Yeah. Big props to Ian Desmond, though, taking a stand and doing what he thinks is right for himself and his family. I got a lot of respect for him now. I didn't like him when he was on the Nats. Obviously, I don't like any of the Nats. I'm a Braves fan, but he's on the Rockies now, so he's all right. A reminder, don't forget to vote in our best seasons bracket. Today is the beginning of round four, the final four of the best seasons bracket, and then the championship round will last throughout the holiday weekend. So you got 2 days, today and tomorrow, to vote in round four of the best seasons bracket. It's been exciting so far. It's a fun thing that we're doing. Thank you all to everyone who has voted so far in the first three rounds. Make sure to get your round four votes in before tomorrow night. And then round five, the championship round, will last all weekend during the holiday weekend. Trey, how are you going to spend your 4th of July holiday weekend?
No comment.
All right, then.
I have some plans. So I'm going to have a good time. Celebrate. I have to work Saturday morning, so that'll be fun. But that won't be that long, and then I have some plans that I'm not going to share.
All right. Sounds good. I hope they're fun. I'm going camping down at Clater Lake with my family, so should be a good time. Hopefully, we'll be able to be socially distant enough. I hope it won't be too crowded, but do some kayaking, some hiking. Should be a good time.
Sounds like a great weekend.
I hope so. That'll do it for this week's episode of Foul Ball Area. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram, like us on Facebook, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Also, check out the Final Score podcast. I will be on there. I talked with them a couple of days ago, so I'll be on their next episode. So make sure to check out Final Score on Twitter. Follow them and listen to their podcast.
Listen to us first.
Yeah, listen to us first. Yeah.
And then listen to us again, and then listen to it.
Yeah, make sure you give us all the listens that you can. We appreciate it.
And leave us a review. We need that helps us, you know, get more traction.
It does. It really does. Thank you all for listening to today's episode of the Foul Ball Area Podcast. For Trey Lyle, I'm Matthew Atkins. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to the Foul Ball Area Podcast. Make sure to leave a review and a rating wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe so you get new episodes as soon as they come out.